Surely. An interesting way to start a sermon. So there is one song that I think every Australian sings with a good deal of gusto. And I think it's Waltzing Matilda. It's a song that's not only known by us Aussies, but countless and thousands of other people in England and America have heard it too. Let alone those for whom English is a second language. Wonder what they think when they hear words like swaggy, the swagman, the billy, the little bucket or billy can, the jumbuck, which is a sheep, a billabong, which is the pond or the waterhole, the tucker bag, the food bag, squatter, a grazier on land state land, or a mounted troopers, the police. I wonder what people think when they hear that song from overseas. Well, the song tells what happened when one sheep from a huge flock wanders down to the billabong where a swaggy is camped. He grabs it, slaughters it and shoves it in his tucker bag. And it's the 1890s when this song was written. And as is the case today, the same as back then, flocks of sheep in the outback Australia numbered in the tens of thousands. And the swaggy probably thought, well, one sheep out of so many would hardly be missed. No one would notice one jumbuck, and it was true. The squatter would be angry to hear that one of his sheep had been stolen, even if it was by a guy down on his luck. But he didn't care at all for the sheep. They were just sheep that he grazed to make money. There was no personal relationship between the squatter and his sheep. And it was unfortunate for the swaggy that the squatter and some troopers happened to be riding by and caught him in the act. And worse still for him, that he jumped into the billabong trying to escape and ended up drowning. Well, I refer to the song we just watched, Waltzing Matilda, today, as an introduction to our sermon, because I think it illustrates what we need to remember that we talked about from 2 weeks ago. That in Jesus' day, and even today, in some parts of the third world, the relationship between sheep and the shepherd is something very special and personal. You know, the shepherd cares for 20 or 50 or maybe 100 sheep at the absolute most, all of whom he knows personally, and they know his voice and follow him. You know, to him, the sheep are like much-loved pets. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the words that Jesus said, that I am the door, or I am the gatekeeper. I am the entrance through which the sheep enter and leave the sheepfold. And in the same section of John's Gospel, we now reflect on what Jesus meant when he said, I am the good shepherd, and in particular, what the shepherd does. Now, the Jews knew all about bad shepherds. The Old Testament prophets constantly castigated the rulers of Israel for being bad shepherds, who were more interested in feeding and caring for themselves than for God's people. And what they longed for was the promised Messianic shepherd who would make God's love present. And in their minds was the prophecy of Isaiah. Chapter 40, verse 1. See, the Lord comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those with young. So when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, they knew he was claiming to be the Messiah, to be making God present. He was saying, things are going to change. They knew what bad shepherds did. And what Jesus goes on to tell them is what the good shepherd has come to do. He's come because he gives his life as a sacrifice for them, for the sheep God loves. He shows sympathy for them, the sheep who need a pastor, and he searches for the lost sheep, the sheep who as yet do not believe. So Jesus begins with, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And unlike the bad shepherds who only looked after number one, the good shepherd is willing to give his life for the sheep. Every one of them is precious to him, and no cost, no sacrifice is too great for him to make for them. In the parable of the lost sheep, in Luke chapter 15, the shepherd leaves 99 in the fold to go out at night to search for the one lost sheep. This reminds us of how much a shepherd could care for his sheep. The good shepherd is more noteworthy. He is pleased even to give his life for the sheep. Jesus, of course, is allegorically alluding to the cross, where the good shepherd actually gives his life for the sheep. The cross says many things, but above all it speaks of the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. God loves us so much that no sacrifice is too great, no cost too high to win our salvation. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God shows his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we really believed this, we would love the Good Shepherd almost to the same degree that he loves us. And we would forever be thankful for our salvation and want to please and serve him. Now the section of John's Gospel that we read earlier begins with Jesus saying, the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But most of all, what follows speaks of the Good Shepherd's care and sympathy for the sheep. Bad shepherds here, spoken of hirelings, do not care for the sheep. And a wolf comes and they run away. It says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. But in contrast, the good shepherd knows each one of his sheep and they know him. In wonderfully assuring words, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Note all the personal pronouns in this passage. You know, the good shepherd says, I know my sheep. And the sheep know my voice. I came that they may have life. I lay down my life for them. They follow me. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The bond of love between the good shepherd and his flock is profound, personal and strong. In verse 15, it's paralleled to the bond between Jesus and the Father. I know my sheep. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Now, once we have a relationship like this, we'd not want to break it, would we? And Jesus tells us that from his side, he will never let us go. So when the going gets hard and doubt fills our mind, this is a wonderful assurance that we have. The Good Shepherd loves and cares for us like a parent does a child. John chapter 10 begins with the shepherd calling out for his flock. The background detail to this we discussed 2 weeks ago. What is envisaged is more than one flock in a sheepfold at night. Do you remember me telling that story about all the, might be two or three lots of sheep in the sheepfold? And in the morning, the first shepherd comes and calls out his sheep, and they separate from the others and follow him. The sheep respond to the voice that they know and no other. It's almost like the other sheep are deaf to any other master but their own. Then in verse 10, Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now if you looked up a Bible commentary on John chapter 10, you'll see that the calling out of the sheep alludes to Jesus calling out believers from the house of Israel. The other sheep he wants in the flock are Gentiles, to whom the apostles will go to after his death and resurrection. Today, they are you and me. His vision is of a new people of God, the church, made up of Jew and Gentile as one flock under one shepherd. What this reminds us of is that Jesus was a missionary. He was sent to the Jews to bring them back to God and to make possible their salvation. He went to them first, but it was always his intent to include believing Gentiles within the new people of God. This missionary task he gave his disciples after his resurrection. And then he sent them out to preach the gospel to the whole world. You know, the Good Shepherd has given us this task. He's shown us his great love for us in dying on the cross for our salvation. And he constantly watches over us along life's way. And he sets before us the task of telling others of the Good Shepherd who wants them to be part of his flock. Now, there's so much we can learn from this passage we've studied today. Here we learn that the Good Shepherd's sacrifice for us, his sympathy and care for us, and his search for other sheep to become members of his flock. Now, like the psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 1, I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I want to ask you today, is God your shepherd? Are you a sheep who is lost in the wilderness? Maybe he's been your shepherd in the past, but you've wandered away. Well, don't leave today without hearing the voice of your shepherd who wants to guide and direct you no matter where you are in life. We're going to